Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking at about a 4-hour flight time today. We've got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Right, let's go. Hour number one on a Friday that it just ain't any Friday. It's one of the best days of the year. It's one of my favorite days of the year. It is Texas OU Friday, and it is time for a little roundtable action. We are up in Dallas. We'll let you know exactly where coming up. Trey Elling's been working hard today all over the place. He's got a wedding to go to this weekend, too. He's back in Austin. Kevin Dunn back in Austin as well. We'll be checking in with him. He's hanging in studio today. We'll definitely hear
from
Kevin.
Shut up.
I want to get a there it is. I want a prediction. I want all kinds of stuff from Kevin today. Sitting near me here, we've got Brad Kellner from Middays with Trey and BK. We've got Rod Babers, who just got done with the Rodcast and still has more to talk about. That's weekdays 1 to 3. Plus, we usually talk to him at 3:30 and 4:30, which we'll do. Plus, Aaron Hogan is hanging out right now. Bucky and Aaron, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. They were out at a chilly, miserable, it sounded like, golf course today. Aaron, have you warmed up, sir?
Yeah, and it turned into actually a beautiful day here in Dallas. I mean, the
it really
come
is,
out,
yeah.
It's about 60 degrees, and yeah, it was dreary this morning, and it's like it seems odd to complain about cold when you've been complaining about heat for
exactly.
six
yeah.
months, but it can we have a little in between? I didn't like going from like the desert to the polar ice cap in
right.
one day in like 8 hours. It was unreal because I was at the softball game the night before and it was sweaty and hot, and then you're freezing. You're you know what off?
It's yeah. called climate change.
It was
used to it.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Now it's perfect here in Dallas.
So let's lay a couple things out for you. First, let's tell you where we are. We are at Twin Peaks in Addison. This is a part of Dallas so cool. It's got a different name. It's still Dallas, but it's Addison. This is the North Tollway section of Dallas, Texas. 5260 Beltline Road. I grew up in this area, and every time I heard Beltline Road, I thought, sounds like cool stuff's happening on Beltline Road. I don't know why, but today, hopefully we are cool stuff happening on Beltline Road. Twin Peaks and Addison. Brad Kellner, you are the one on our station that speaks for Twin Peaks. You mentioned food, you mentioned drinks, and you mentioned scenic views, correct?
Yes, we've got all three of those things.
You have all three. And I would also tell people, if you've been to a Twin Peaks in Austin, the scenic views are a little different in the Dallas area.
Whoa. Are you saying better?
You
saying it's better?
I'm not saying better.
Whoa, looking at man. Me. Why are you going to throw me on the
bus, huh?
No, no. I'm saying different. In the Austin area, I feel like
you gotta, now you got to describe it.
In Austin,
now you need in great detail, please.
You know I will. In the Austin area, I feel like Twin Peaks has a uniform. But in Dallas, it would appear that Twin Peaks is okay with maybe some
freestyling?
Maybe some freestyle.
I think there's unanimity in the – it seems. Yeah. I know what? I haven't looked close enough, so you might be right.
I'll have to thoroughly investigate this,
and I will. I'll get back to you next segment.
Feels like a different kind of attire is what I'm telling you. The quality of
like
lady is not what we're discussing.
Oh, okay.
Chad, I think the word you're looking for is underwear.
There it is. Lingerie? Maybe lingerie?
Scantily clad?
Evening wear?
Yeah, okay. You haven't spent enough time at the Twin Peaks.
I was going to say, thank you.
Hey, I'm just going off the last time I was there.
By all the Twin Peaks restaurants around the country,
nice.
If I'm not mistaken.
Okay,
so, all
right. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
Don't be throwing our Austin girls under the bus.
Oh, no, not throwing shade at all. Right. I'd never do that.
I prefer the body ink, the tatted up Twin Peaks ladies.
Yeah, so.
Plenty of those in Austin.
So, I know. That's why I like the ITX ones.
So if you're looking for a place to hang out, this could be a very good idea. Now, before we check in back in the studio with Kevin and get some thoughts on Texas OU, I do need to mention just now, literally in the last few minutes on Twitter, it was tweeted out by one of the greats, of course, Chris Bennett. Maybe the most captionable, name that caption, what the heck am I looking at picture that I've ever seen for Texas OU weekend.
Oh, I saw this.
It is not just a girl that is trying to do an upside down Longhorn tattoo inside of her lower lip, but she is also smoking hot. Go check it out. I just retweeted it at CHastings1049. Rita Ballou. Rita Ballou of Coke FM says, I got nothing. And another one of our listeners, Steven, says, just think of a bag of crap. Go check it out. You give your own caption. It just, I'm just saying her attractiveness adds to the discussion.
Didn't she lose Didn't she lose points of attractiveness when she has a lip tattoo of the Longhorn?
Oh, I think that's very possible.
Yeah, she's a Sooner fan with a Bevo in her lip.
Which is up, which is so actually right side up when she has her mouth closed. When she opens her mouth,
see, it's
upside down.
By the way,
you see, this is the discussion I'm talking about.
Which means it's right side up unless she's working.
See, right. I'm just, you see?
She thought that was demeaning to us. And we're like, no, right. That'll make us look bad. You look bad.
So that just happened in 60 seconds. Go check that out on Twitter.
She is attractive.
Wow. At C. Hastings 1049.
It's got to be fake, right? It's got to be fake.
It can't
be real.
Dude.
Hey, it's got to be fake.
Know.
I want to meet this woman with a
name
long
Lacey.
Tattoo.
Her name is
Lacey, apparently. You've never seen that? That's kind of a new age look with the inner lip tattoo.
With the Longhorn upside down?
Yeah, it's not as permanent as a normal tattoo. It only lasts anywhere from like 6 months to a couple of years.
See, you deal with a lot of young ladies. I didn't know. This was a new thing.
The saliva in your mouth causes that to eventually fade away. So she doesn't have that permanently. Yeah. But the funny part is she has to pull her lip down for the horns to be down. So when her lip is in the normal closed position, that means the horns are facing up.
There you go.
So she didn't think this one through.
Wow. Now, let me ask. So, now, Chad, can we ask the one person who in this room who actually – is this attractive to you? Because married, going to be married, should be married by now, Rod. Is this like whether it's a Bevo, it's a Bevo lip tattoo or just a lip, is that attractive to a single guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I'm in on it.
Yeah.
I'm in on it.
That means she's wild. Huh?
That means there's something going
there's
on
something
there.
Going
I've always,
on
there. I've always felt like any tattoo means she's in for a good time.
Yeah.
My experience has taught me that.
No, people with tattoos actually more likely to die a violent death. Ladies with tattoos, I agree. More likely
lip
to
that I did
wild.
Not know. You've done some scientific research.
Oh no, that's
on
actually
this
studies
study.
They've done. I do research.
The Rod Babers research will always tell you that one. All right, we're here at Twin Peaks in Addison, and yes, it is Texas OU Friday. We'll be breaking down the game, talking about all kinds of angles on this thing. And as I mentioned, Kevin Dunn is back in studio listening to the madness, and he'll be commenting from time to time. Kevin, let me start with you on actual game talk today.
Actually, let's stay with this.
Kevin
might have more expertise than any of us.
All right, I'll tell you what. Never mind. Let's start there. Kevin, do you have a comment? Have you seen the picture yet?
Yeah, I have. And I've thought about it. She's the hottest OU girl I think I've ever seen in the lip up, lip down thing. Either way, she's still hot, but it kind of does show the trashy side to even their hottest chick.
Yes, it does do that.
I like trashy women.
It does do that.
I didn't say I didn't, Rod.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. It's totally fair. All right, Kevin, so when you I know yesterday as we were talking about it, it felt like we were both kind of thinking Texas probably covers that 11-point spread, and I think we might have been leaning towards picking Texas to win this ball game. Is that still where you are on a Friday, or have you not fully committed yet?
I mean, it's still up in the air either way, but I do think that there's probably a lot more advantages to Texas that we haven't at least nationally thought about. And the 11 or 10.5 is ridiculous to me. I think even that 300 plus is kind of stupid, but it really can go either way. Right now I'm going to lean towards Texas because of toughness and because of the whole experience with the quarterback. But the fact that people are saying OU is going to blow Texas out nationally, that's insane. I mean, there's a lot of little things, advantages, disadvantages, strengths, weaknesses towards either side or units, individual matchups. But I'll take Sam Ellinger in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Sam you trust, right? It's kind of
and
one of those
Sam
games.
I trust.
One of those games. Again, Kevin Dunn back in studio. Before we do anything else, Kevin, why don't you tell people a little bit about why you're back in Austin and where you're going to be tomorrow watching Texas and Oklahoma?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the Pluckers Link location. It's going to be a really good time. We're going to be out there at 11 o'clock. That's when they open up. And we're going to be giving away a 55-inch television at halftime. That'll be free. and that'll be courtesy of Audiovisual Consultations. All you have to do is get out to the link location. The wingmen were full with that. So if you want to get to hornfm.com and sign up for another one down the road, go ahead and do that. But get to pluckers.com. If you're not near 290 and I-35 and you want to find a place near you, maybe you're even in Dallas and you're thinking, you know, I can't get out of the Cotton Bowl, but I want to go watch this at a Texas-centric place, get to pluckers.com. Find a location near you. You can order online. The menu's there, and we're going to be having a really good time out there. So get on out there. Pluckers, if you don't like us or you don't like our wings, we will give you the bird.
All right, fellas, we got an early candidate for best caption of that picture. Somebody has tweeted, gotta be fake. No way those are Oklahoma teeth. That is well done. Well done.
Guys,
early in the day.
Guys, she is hot, man. I mean, she's definitely hot, but she has a little OU crazy in her eyes.
Yeah, Kevin, it looks like she's seen Dr. Eckerd is what it looks like. It looks like she went to Dr. Eckerd and got the Bucky and E. Raines treatment on the teeth. Those are some nice
teeth.
Let's
be honest. She might be from Texas. How many players
of course
she is. Team are from Texas? Like 45% of the team is from Texas?
Yeah, she's probably from Addison. As you started with.
They recruited her from this part of the world. You're right.
She's working at Twin Peaks, as a matter of fact.
She's probably right over there.
Guys,
that's a good point.
Guys, she had a 2.3 GPA at Plano East and got flunked out a couple times and ended up giving a favor to a guy at Oklahoma.
Hey.
Could be it. That could be.
Hey, a 2.3 at Plano East gets you a full ride to Oklahoma, I'm pretty sure.
Fair enough.
That is true.
That is actually true.
That gets you into med school. All right. So, a lot of Texas OU talk coming. Let me throw out a discussion this way. Rod, I was listening to you as I was driving up here today, and a strange thought occurred to me as it pertains to the Sam Cosmi trick play against West Virginia. Okay. So I know you like to make pop culture references.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna try to keep up with you.
Go ahead.
Have you ever seen the movie Rounders?
Yeah. With the cards, right?
Everybody familiar
Matt
with this?
Damon.
Yes.
Brad.
Yeah.
No. Aaron. Yes. Okay.
Right
for those who
that?
Haven't seen Rounders, a spoiler alert is coming. But when the Matt Damon character realizes KGB's tell with the Oreos,
right.
He lets him know and gets it all out in the open, and then it's as if to say, "I'm not gonna beat you that way. I'm gonna beat you." Is it possible that part of Tom Herman doing that is saying to Lincoln Riley, you know what? I'm going to put that out there in the West Virginia game. I don't need that to beat you. We're not beating you because Sam Cosmi catches a pass. We're going to beat you because Sam Cosmi's going to kick out and catch Kenneth Murray in the chest. That's why we're going to beat you. We're going to beat you because we're more physical. We're going to beat you because we push you around. I may throw it to Sam, I may let Roshan throw one, but Sam Cosmi in a trick play is not why we're beating you in the Cotton Bowl. There are all kinds of football reasons why we beat you. Is that possible that he's trying to throw out a little message, Aaron, about, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and waste that one in Morgantown?
Misinformation, give him more to think about.
I'm going
to
take him at his word because they didn't score a point in the third quarter in that game. I think they were just trying to score a damn touchdown.
and maybe it's that.
You can kill two birds at one stone.
I'm not trying to rain on your physical
parade. You could do both, right?
Because I agree with
you. Both.
But I think in that, if you go look at their six drives coming out of halftime, they got the ball out of half. They just didn't move the ball. And Oakland, West Virginia did a nice job of taking Devin Duvernay away. Devin had a great first half. And all of a sudden, they were bracketing him.
They did.
And they, you know, I think Tom Herman was saying, "How are we going to get we need a touchdown here, guys. We need to score. Let's dial it up." And he said it was on the right hash. But I see your point that you shouldn't need in their minds. We shouldn't need trick plays to beat OU in this game because we're the more physical football team and have been the last several years. But I'm going to take him as word. They needed to try to score a touchdown in that game.
To your point, though, I love the quote from Joseph Asai. There'll be a lot of guys talking trash. I don't know if they're keeping it real or talking trash. We haven't really decided that
they're
yet.
Confident
they're
this
confident,
week, aren't
though.
They?
Yeah. Joseph Asai, when he was asked about the B.J. Foster, like potential targeting penalty and all that, he said, "I think we're maybe too physical for the Big 12.
And
that's a kind of a shot at everybody in the Big 12.
What film are they watching?
But get to the point about the confidence thing, right? It's your point. Like, they feel like they are the more physical team in this matchup.
Yeah.
Tom Herman has a great saying. He says, culture eats strategy for lunch. And the culture at Texas, we know from a Tom Herman team, is we're going to be the more physical team on the field. Even when you're playing LS freaking U. Even when you're playing USC. Oklahoma, too. I will say the majority of the time Tom Herman teams have been out there, not that they're the best team, not that they're the most efficient or most effective. A lot of the time, they're the tougher team out there. Like, they're the more physical team out there. I think that's what they want to impose. That's why B.J. Foster's saying, Jalen Hurts, he ain't dumb. He'll slide when he gets to the second level. He'll get down. I think they're just confident they're the more physical team, and the more physical team usually wins Texas OU.
And, Brad, I wonder if it's coming from the coaches ultimately. Tom Herman stood in front of the media on Monday and made this nice little calm comment about coverages, simple coverages for Oklahoma's defense, and it felt like a real slight – Not a dig, but just a comment. And I wonder if the coaches have implanted these ideas in the players' head, and everybody's just got this confidence of, you know, we've got this.
Well, I want to go back to the Sam Cosmi touchdown against West Virginia that you were talking about. I think you guys are underestimating Tom Herman's pettiness. I think that was a play call specifically designed for the West Virginia game, considering what the Mountaineers did in Austin last year. And that was the dagger touchdown. You remember, Texas was up 11 at the time. That made it an 18-point game, a three-possession game in the fourth quarter. He wanted to do that and kind of send a middle finger to the West Virginia fans as they were exiting the stadium on the way out. And Sam Cosmi said after the game, he said, "We didn't start working on that play until this week." Like, that was not something they worked on in the summer or during fall camp. They had that play specifically designed for West Virginia. So I do think we will see some trickeration. We have seen that from Texas against Oklahoma in the past. But, of course, Tom Herman's MO as a head coach, he wants to be the more physical team out there every Saturday. And I think Texas has been more physical in their matchups with Oklahoma. You look back at what Tom Herman did at Houston against Oklahoma when they pulled off that upset the season opener a few years ago. Tom Herman wants to be the more physical football team, and everybody is looking at the skill position players. Everybody's talking about Jalen Hurts versus Sam Ehlinger. Everyone's talking about the OU running backs, the wide receivers on both of these teams. Games like these are won and lost in the trenches, and that's where I think a lot of national media and just fans across the country, I don't think they're paying attention to the advantage that Texas has in the trenches over Oklahoma tomorrow.
Yep. Well, Vegas ain't.
Vegas definitely is.
Well, look, Vegas has had Oklahoma a touchdown or more favorite in this game for seven straight years, and they haven't covered a single one of them.
Yeah.
So is it possible? Are we missing something, or is Vegas just trying to get money?
No. Well,
just trying to get money? Look, is that what it is?
Look, I think most people understand that Vegas lines are created to create even money on both sides. So public perception matters in a big way. If it's not high enough, you get too much money on one side. If it's not low enough, they want to break even and win the juice and move on and build casinos. They just don't want to get killed. So they're trying to. So public perception is what drives the betting. So the perception, as BK said, is, you know, this is Oklahoma. You can't stop them. And this is Texas. We saw them play LSU. They can't stop anybody through the air. This is going to be a two-touchdown or more blowout. But, again, it's one in the trenches in this game. It's one with the turnovers. And that's where, again, Texas has a big advantage in this football game. And I would say one other thing about trickeration. The one thing I took from Tom Herman's Monday news conference was he talked about what are you seeing in the difference in this new defense under the coordinator. He actually said, These safeties are coming downhill. These safeties are like coming into the box at full speed, and that's something that Alex Grinch is trying to get them to do, to be more aggressive, to be more physical. Well, to me, that's this screams play action. I mean, that screams play action for Texas in this game early, and maybe because I heard you at the end of the broadcast, Rod, talking about momentum. Get the early momentum with a play action pass and take a big hit down the field. Because if those safeties who are average at best anyhow are coming down to help and run support, knowing Texas has a good offensive line and running game, play action could work early. It doesn't even have to be trickeration. Yeah. It could just be a play action pass.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. Especially with Colin Johnson now added to the mix.
Yeah, or Brennan
Eagles. Or Devin Duvernay.
That's one of the plays I loved at West Virginia where those did the deep crosses. Where,
is that the way through the pick on? Because Sam throws a pick. They actually, and you guys might remember it, Devin Duvernay runs a deep corner route.
Yeah.
And Sam throws the post, and the corner is – Duvernay is wide open. Probably going to be a touchdown if he throws it to him. But I like those kind of concepts too against Oklahoma, man, because they can't double-team Colin and Devin Duvernay at the same time.
And to me, that's the biggest thing with Colin being back. And I'd love to get Kevin and Brad, everybody's thoughts on this. Because when you sit in the stadium and watch the games without Colin Johnson, the whole team's defended differently.
No doubt.
And last week when Brennan Eagles almost disappeared, he was getting the Colin Johnson treatment.
Because they don't double Malcolm Epps. They know they don't have to.
Yeah, they don't have to double Malcolm Epps.
He's
not polished enough as a receiver. So it was Brennan Eagles getting that shade coverage. Now what do you do when you're Oklahoma and you can run the ball like you will be able to at Texas, and you've got Johnson, Eagles, Duvernay, and potentially Jake Smith? That's a handful on offense.
That's why I wonder why. I mean, we haven't seen that 10 personnel package, one back, zero tight ends. But we heard about it in training camp, and the reason was because we have so much talent at wide receiver, we need to put four wide receivers on the field. And it's because Brennan Eagles was so good, right? You had Brennan Eagles, Colin Johnson, and now we know Jake Smith is the real deal, and Devin Duvernay. I still think maybe that's a wrinkle you might see. I mean, it seems too easy, right? It's like there's no way they can match up across the board with Colin Johnson, Duvernay, and Jake Smith in the slot, and Brennan Eagles. If they do that across the board, and let's say they put four guys on your four wide receivers – then that means they're in zero coverage, and so they can match you in the box with their seven defenders. If they put a safety over the top or two safeties over the top, you got the numbers advantage in the box. That means your seven, with Sam as a plus one, going up against their five or their six. Right. It's like automatically you can run the ball against them. So I don't know. I don't know why we haven't seen it yet. It seems like you're not going to have that advantage next year. Colin Johnson gone, Duvernay gone. They're not. You're not going to have that advantage. Now you are uniquely, in my opinion, you are uniquely put in a position where you can put threats to the offense, to the defense, excuse me, that they can't respond to. There's no way they can.
But we can also argue, Brad, this is the first time that if Colin Johnson is going to be back, it's the first time Colin Johnson will play and Devin Duvernay will play after Duvernay becomes this kind of a weapon. We haven't seen them play together
LSU, he got
since
hurt.
He became this guy, have we?
LSU, now, because you're right, LSU, he was hurt. He got hurt.
Yeah, three catches against LSU.
And that was when
Duvernay had 12.
Yeah, and that's when Duvernay started.
And that's when he really became the go-to player, replacing Lil Jordan from a year ago.
Yeah,
right about that.
Colin Johnson torched Oklahoma in both meetings last year. I mean, six catches for 81 yards and a touchdown in the Cotton Bowl, but in the Big 12 Championship, eight catches for .177 and a touchdown. They couldn't cover him. Yep. And what Colin Johnson brings to the table is his size. I mean, Oklahoma's defensive backs are all 5'11", 6 feet. You put 6'5", 6'6", Colin Johnson up there, and he's proven, especially against this Oklahoma defense, that he can go up and make plays. He's just way better than any other outside receiver that Texas has right now. I mean, I think the future's bright for guys like Malcolm Epps. You know, Brendan Eagles has made some plays this year. John Burt had a touchdown last week.
Yeah.
There's plenty of talent there, but none of those dudes come close to what Colin Johnson gives you. So, yeah, his presence, even if he's only 80 to 90% tomorrow, him being out on the field is a huge benefit for this offense.
All right, we are just getting started from Twin Peaks in Addison. We're on Beltline Road, 5260 Beltline Road. Good group is gathered. By the way, we are in the cigar room. As you enter, just to your right.
You can smoke in here.
It is the cigar. Yes, you can. Oh, there's cigars right over there. You got it ready to roll.
I don't
yes.
smoke cigars. Maybe I'm menthol.
We are in the cigar room. These chairs are comfy, and these screens are huge. So come on over and check us out if you're looking for a place
what
to
are
hang
huge?
Out. The screens. Screens are
screens.
Huge. The TV screens are huge.
Yeah.
Here at Twin Peaks. That's where we're going to be hanging out today, all the way till 6:30 when we get you to high school football action. Coming up, more with Rod Babers, of course. Longhorn Insider segment at 3:30. Brad Kellner hanging out. Aaron Hogan is here. I'm Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn back in the studio in Austin. More coming up. Also, if you have not heard it before, we got the Scottish guy coming up at about 3:45, 3:50. If you need alternate lyrics, Longhorn fans, to Boomer Sooner, the Scottish guy's got an idea for you coming up at about 3:50. So stick around for that. We're at Twin Peaks in Addison. This is The Horn. We are just getting started on a Friday, this Texas OU Friday. Hope you're having a great one. If you're wondering about the weekend's plans, yes, we are at Twin Peaks here in Addison on Beltline Road through 6:30 this evening. Then it's Friday night countdown as we get ready for all the great high school action, including Lake Travis and Westlake. If you're looking for us in the morning, first of all, bring a layer because it's going to be like mid to high 40s as we get started at 7 o'clock. But we're over at the Texas X's tent again near the Science History Museum, Natural History Museum, I guess I should say. And then if you're staying back in Austin, Kevin already told you, Pluckers, the Link location for the watch party. Get on by there, cheer on the Longhorns, and then, of course, get signed up for the TV and or Kansas tickets at the half. Both of those will be given away at halftime. A lot of good college football coming up tomorrow, and the championship series begin tonight in baseball. Let's start right there with the Big Three.
The Big Three.
The Big Three brought to you by ChristopherWaters.com. Call Chris Waters today at 512-649-4000 to get your home sold guaranteed.
The unexpected NLCS game one is tonight. 7:08, technically the first pitch time. TBS handles your National League Championship Series. Washington and St. Louis, it's Annabelle Sanchez and Miles Michaelis on that one tonight on game one. Game two tomorrow night will be Scherzer and Wainwright. And, of course, the Astros get it done last night, 6-1. Garrett Cole. 8 innings, 10 strikeouts. So far, his playoff ERA is .57. not bad at all. Obviously, a lot of college football with Texas and OU. We'll continue to discuss that. Texas State lost last night by 10 to ULM. NC State beat Syracuse 16-10. And last night in the NFL, the Patriots got by the Giants 35-14. Edelman had 113 receiving. NFL for the weekend, Bill Callahan of the Redskins is going with Case Keenum as his quarterback, and Earl Thomas has been fined $21,000 for that hit on Mason Rudolph. So there's your big three. Of course, every day on the show, 3:30 and 4:30, we talk with Rod Babers. Rod's hanging out here at Twin Peaks in Addison. So is Brad Kellner. So is Aaron Hogan as we get ready for Texas and Oklahoma. And, guys, we were talking about this interesting line with Oklahoma by 11. We've all hit it throughout the week. Six straight years, the wrong team has been favored, basically. 3 years, Texas wins outright. But all 6 years, Oklahoma does not cover. And somebody sent us a text yesterday. Since 1997, the average point of miss in this game for Vegas is 17.25. And a third of the time, they favor the wrong team.
Wow.
So what I want you guys to explain to me is why that is the case. We are talking about two of the bluest blue bloods in college football. This would be like if you miss Michigan and Ohio State over and over and over and over again. Rod, why does Vegas miss this game?
I think it's a unique environment, and they can't quantify that in Vegas, right? They got people sitting in rooms, and they look at stats like me, and they're doing breakdowns, and they know football. But Texas OU is so unique. That's why people are worried about Jalen Hurts, right? The great stats since 1990. First-time starting quarterbacks who are facing an opposing quarterback who has playing time or a significant or starting experience in this game, they're 2-14-1. Since 1990. Mm-hmm. And usually it's because people say the environment is just it leaves you struck. All right. You're almost in awe by it. Now, Jalen Hurts is playing the national title game. He's played, you know, in the Iron Bowl. So he's played in some really big games, but nothing quite unique like having the stands split in half right down the middle. We've talked about the tunnel is not what it used to be. We talked about the tunnel, but the state fair outside. It is different. It's very, very different. And I do wonder if that has something to do with it. And the momentum shifts are so strange and in this series, and I've talked about them, I got some stats on it, but the swings are so crazy and chaotic in this game. The last three or four games, Texas has been up, OU goes up. Texas comes back, OU comes back. Then they, you know, end up scoring a lot of points. I just think it's something that really nobody really can quantify or really kind of get a read on.
I'll make it shorter than that. I think yep. Vegas, look, they use their algorithms and analytics to try to figure out what should happen. But in this game, what should happen rarely happens. It's just the way the game goes for every point Rod just made. You and I go to this game every year, Chad, and there's an emotional wave that doesn't stop. There's yeah. not a moment during the game where you don't feed off of that. This is the fans or the players, and it just there's never a lull, it feels like. Brad, you've been to this game many times.
Yep.
I mean, there's just
right.
it's, when you say it's unlike any other, it literally is unlike any other. The energy in the stadium almost uplifts every player, and they're looking to make plays. It's just so what should happen usually does not happen.
Yeah, someone's always cheering.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't matter what's going on in the game. Somebody, half of the stadium is always cheering. And I want to make sure I have your numbers right. So if recent history holds true or if it comes to fruition tomorrow and you said Vegas has missed the Texas OU game by an average of 17 points. So that means if they miss it by that tomorrow, Oklahoma's going to win by 27 or Texas right. is going to win by 7.
Yeah, I guess that's the average.
Yeah. You somewhere, yeah.
Well, I know which way I'm leading out of those two choices right there.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes me feel a lot better about Texas's chances.
And
huh?
remember, I mean, look, pardon me for
they
in,
know
injecting
something,
this.
Though. Yeah, they know something.
And I don't know if this is a good thing. Brad, you sat in the stands a lot more than I have. Rod, you played in the game. They're serving beer in the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time this year.
What a great
Let's
move.
Let's go.
What now, a great move.
Who's that? Whose advantage is that to? Texas or Oklahoma?
The beer vendors. Bud Light.
Bud Light.
College football. You know what I'm
saying? Well, but because I haven't been in the stadium many times, everyone gets to the fair early enough so they can pound enough beers to get a good buzz
yeah.
before they get into the stadium. Now they're going to be able to carry that buzz into the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is there a fear of a European soccer match breaking out here of some
kind? Oh, man. Yeah, I hope. It's earlier, though. I think there's still the 11 a.m. It's still tough for some people to drink that early.
That's why
not these people.
I was about to say. These yeah. people don't stop drinking. They'll go out tonight downtown, and then they'll just keep going tomorrow.
I did hear Dan Neal say that this environment – Texas OU to him was to him had him more starstruck than being introduced for the Super Bowl. And he said that on the air raise of the horn today.
Sure, now, he said that many times.
He said it many times. Yep. So, I mean, that's a guy who would know about, you know, football at the highest of the highest level. And he said, no, Texas OU, it is that unique that, honestly, I got more amped up for that game in the pregame than I did for the Super Bowl.
Because first downs, the band starts playing, everybody goes crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we got a first down, you didn't. It's that kind of thing.
And crazy, we tell the story every year, but it should be told again. Keith Moreland, Longhorn legend, always
King
tells
Red.
That story. I stood at home plate. In the World Series. He was on a World Series championship team, and he said, there's nothing like that tunnel.
I agree
nothing
with that.
In the world that he's experienced. So it is, it's truly unique. I'm looking at the attendance from last year. 92,300 is the credit. There's no college football game on earth, not championship games, not conference title games, where 46,000 people.
Yeah.
Yell on every single play. That's basically more than the capacity of, say, TCU or Baylor.
That's
Think
crazy.
About it that way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
McLean Stadium is about 45, right?
Yeah.
So right at that number or better, roars on every single play.
Which makes it unique.
Yep.
And it goes to the whole Vegas thing. Vegas just likes consistency. Their algorithms, here's what should happen, here's what our numbers say, and this game transcends
it's
that.
It's my feel
and
emotion.
And to totally finish off that conversation, unless you have another point, Chad.
No, go ahead.
Oklahoma covered at AT&T Stadium last December.
They did.
They covered the
away
game.
From this atmosphere.
Away from this
away
game.
From the
now,
there.
Anybody that was there would say, no one would say it was a blowout. I mean, it was a great football game, but they outscored Texas 12-0 in the fourth quarter and actually covered the line.
Controlled environment.
And they pulled away at the end.
Texas was down by three before that safety.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Texas, and then they couldn't get off the field defensively. Oklahoma had that long touchdown drive at
the end. It wasn't a one-sided game, but they covered the Vegas
That's
line.
That's true. And by the way, Aaron brought up a good point, which reminded me. I was driving up, listening to Trey, and by the way, first off, Trey's interview with Bob Stoops was
incredible. It was awesome.
Incredible.
It was. You got to go back and check it on the podcast.
Brother, unbelievable.
Really definitely. Two-parter. It was awesome.
HornFM.com. Yeah. I've said it. I'll say it again. I don't think anybody I've ever worked with or around or listened to does the book interview any better than Trey does. And he got Bob Stoops.
Because he reads the book.
Yeah, he does.
None of us read the book.
He's a loser, man.
That is the secret. But he got Bob. I've never heard Bob Stoops give anybody, TV or radio, that much time ever.
He did. He stayed out after a break.
It was incredible.
It was incredible.
Nice job there. But also after that, I heard Trey and Joe Cook talking. And Joe Cook said one of his favorite things about this game is the bands. And he brought up this really interesting point. I'd never thought of it. In a home-and-home environment, both bands never get shown off equally. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You either – there's discussions about where do we seat the band, they're up here, and whatever, or just the home band is shown off. You get full OU band before the game with the state flag. You get full Texas band with the
Don't
state flag.
Don't you get the bowl games, though?
You get all
– the bowl games have
– Okay, well, there's 25,000 people there.
That's true. That's what I'm saying. Like, but,
right?
Yeah, I'm saying like, big bowl games.
Maybe.
On display.
Maybe when you get to those bowl games.
Yeah.
But everything gets shown off in an equal way there.
Yeah.
Both fan bases get fired up in a unique way. Yeah, it is. It's hard to quantify, and I wonder if people have sat around rooms in Vegas and tried to figure this game out because they have to see this trend, right? Fellas, we've missed this six years in a row.
Or they know that the fan bases on both sides – are so rabid and they're making money off of it, like he says in some way. Like they're going after both sides. We know that it is people love to bait Texas fans because Texas fans will take the bait every time.
Well, Vegas is losing money on this game because the general public puts more money in on the favorites in every game. I mean, that's just like a normal statistic. So every time Oklahoma's a heavy favorite and they don't cover, Vegas actually takes it on the chin. So you almost think that at some point they would almost
adjust?
Go too far in the opposite direction, right? Over-adjust, if anything, but it feels like they haven't done it yet.
They build those casinos for a reason. They know something we don't.
That's always the thought, right? That's always the thought.
But I don't know what it is.
But you know what? In this game,
on every game tomorrow. Every game tomorrow.
In this game, we know something they don't know.
Exactly.
That's generally what it's become.
Yeah, we say what Rod just said about all the stuff, but this game, there's something weird about it these last few years. It's really strange. We're here at Twin Peaks in Addison. It's 5260 Beltline Road, getting ready for Texas and Oklahoma. I was going through some numbers, guys. I think it's safe to say this. What I want to know tomorrow is what's real about Oklahoma and specifically the offense. I heard Bucky and Aaron this morning talking to Lee Sterling, and I believe it was Lee that made the great point. When they scheduled UCLA and Houston were better, and they hoped they would be better. but we've not really been able to see a whole lot with our eyes. If they continue to rush for 288 a game and get 644 in total offense and play about a top 50 level defense, nobody beats them in America. They're winning the national championship, period. Bama, Clemson, Georgia, whoever. They're beating everybody, right? 288 a game on the ground?
That's crazy.
So what is real tomorrow, Rod? That's what I want to know. What's real about this Oklahoma offense? Are they that damn good?
It'll be determined in the trenches. It'll be, in my opinion, if the tackles play, and we've been talking about them over and over again, if those two guys play, and it's Aaron Neely and Eric Swinson, right? If those guys play, then it'll be a different monster altogether. But I've heard from everybody that I know that they're not going to play. They're not likely to play. That means Texas should win the battle of the trenches. They have the better O-line, and now I think they have the better D-line if those tackles don't play. So, yeah, it may have been a fugazi, what we saw from Oklahoma in their first four or five games.
Every time he uses that heavy word, it freaks me out.
It's not a heavy word. That's like Italian slang. Italian slang for like something fake.
The only thing I know about the word fugazi is that there was like a punk metal band back in the day called Fugazi. Other than that, I have no idea.
I also heard flabbergasted driving.
Flabbergasted. As a black man, I should not use that word.
My grandmother used
As a man, you should not use that word.
If I was a white man, I could use flabbergasted. Sure, I could use it.
It'd be older than me, though. Right, you got to be 65.
Yeah, I would think so.
To get away with flabbergasted, you have to be a little older.
That's BK. The BK's world. Don't read books. Don't use big words.
Yeah, somebody has to be assisting you to the bathroom if you're using the term flabbergasted. That's the age limit right there. We can't have that.
That's fantastic. I got to the bathroom. They didn't have railings to hold on to. I was flabbergasted. That's how you use that.
I mean, it is fair to say Oklahoma hadn't played anybody. When you just ask yourself logical questions, who's the best quarterback they've played?
Derek King.
And he scored 31 points, right?
They
looked like they were deer in the headlights, and they looked in awe of Oklahoma, and they got run off the field. But they did score 31 points. Who's the best defense they faced? Texas Tech?
Texas Tech.
Oh, jeez.
By
pass defense, it's Kansas, believe it or not. By total defense, it is Tech.
Oh, right, so Kansas, to your point of what are they, who knows? I don't think they know. I really don't. I mean, you don't know until you play someone that can actually show you, unless you spar with somebody in the boxing ring that can, here's your
hole. Like LSU.
Yeah, like LSU did for Texas. You would argue Oklahoma State, you know, having to see Chuba Hubbard, the nation's leading rusher, exposes you to some things and teaches you, hey, we're kind of weak right here. And that is why you want to play a tough schedule. And it's not Oklahoma's fault because UCLA's fallen off a cliff and Houston in a transition with Dana Holgerson.
They're tanking. They're tanking for a college team. It's weird.
And here's a number to take it even further. You know, not only are the teams that Oklahoma has played 10 and 17 combined, those 10 wins, the best win of the teams they've played that they've beaten, so if you go to who they have beaten, is Washington State. Is Washington State. So I don't know. I mean, I have no clue. Right. And I don't think Oklahoma knows how good they are.
And that's a scary idea, Aaron, not knowing exactly who your football team is going into this ball game.
Sure.
There's no guarantee of who wins, but if I'm a Texas fan, I walk in with a little more confidence tomorrow knowing who my team is.
Yeah, I mean, last year this team went to the Final Four, though. They won the Big 12 and went to the Final Four. I mean, they've got a lot of new faces, but they've got eight guys back on defense. I think the defense is significantly better just watching them on film.
And
I mean, the
so
stats show
though.
It, and you can argue they haven't played anybody, but you know, they held Texas Tech offense led by Jet Duffy to like 15 to 17 points. Last week, Texas Tech against Oklahoma State put up a 45 spot. Like, they just look better. They're actually flying to the football. They look more disciplined. Now, they haven't seen an offense anywhere close to Texas. There's no doubt about that. But I would encourage people to be a little bit cautious. When you use that phrase that Oklahoma hasn't seen a team like Texas, that obviously applies to the Longhorn offense. Does that really apply to this version of the Longhorn defense? Like, I would still say talent-wise, Texas defensively has more than any of the five first opponents OU has played. But the numbers, the eye test, I mean, the Texas defense hasn't been that great. I don't think it's fair for anybody to assume that Oklahoma's not going to be able to move the ball down the field and put up a decent number of points tomorrow.
No, that's a good point. All right, more coming up from Twin Peaks in Addison. It's 5260 Beltline Road. Coming up, we'll get you the Scottish guy before the OU game. Some alternate lyrics for Boomer Sooner if you need it, Longhorn fans. That is on the way. More with Rod and Brad and Aaron. I'm Chad Hastings. We are at Twin Peaks. Kevin Dunn back in the studio. You'll hear from him as well as we get ready for Texas and Oklahoma, Chapter 115. You're going to hear it tomorrow at 11 a.m., just like you hear every Texas game right here on the Horn.
Chad's Crap Bag.
Crap Bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, Texas OU Friday rolls on from Twin Peaks in Addison. It is crap bag time on a Friday before a Texas game. So it is time for a little Scottish guy. If you are a Texas fan and you sit in the seats every year and you hear that Oklahoma song over and over and over again and you wish you could just think of something else, maybe new lyrics can help. The Scottish guy's got an idea for you. Here we go.
We don't need no parental guidance here. So let me see if I have this right, Sooners. 114 years of being the biggest d*** on the planet, and now you want to learn respect? In case you missed it, the OU Spirit Coordinator, because that is apparently a real thing, has told all Okie Spirit teams they are not allowed to do the horns down hand gesture. Oh, for f*** sake. Or what? You're going to kick the Roughnecks and the cheerleaders out of the Cotton Bowl? Give me a big text-sized break. In case you hadn't noticed, this is not an etiquette class. It's not Sunday school. And it's not some gentlemanly, glove-to-the-face, old-school crap. This is Texas OU. Class has nothing to do with it. Your football team and its coaches put the horns down in the team photo if you win, just like Texas and all its fans will put the horns in your face when they win. So stop the PC 2019 bullshit. It's way too late for you to have enough self-respect to get your own hand sign. Stick to what you know and bring it on. All right, Mr. Hurt, it's almost time for you to learn the difference between everything you've seen and something you can't imagine. When the guy that's done this before meets the guy that never has, experience usually matters, and Sam's done it twice. Plus, you don't have the protection, and Roach and Osai are coming. Plus, your defense is a better joke, but still a joke. Plus, there's no Hawaiian kid to save you this time. One, two, three. Puncha losers, puncha losers. You what a filthy, smelly rednecks. Puncha losers, puncha losers. We hate you and you suck, everybody. Puncha losers, puncha losers. You what a filthy, smelly rednecks. Bunch of losers, bunch of losers. We hate you, and you suck. Yes, we hate you, yes, you suck. Did we mention we hate you? You are losers with no teeth altogether. Oh, you sucks. UT62, scheduling and no dental plan. 3, this is SGHORNSUP.
All right, there you go, hornfm.com, Chad and Kevin Page. If you missed it or you want to hear it again, we've also got the podcast up for you. Everyone gets a trophy with Kevin and Scipio Tex, the one and only Paul Wadlington.
Yeah, that, I listened to the last episode. It was good.
Check
that out.
First
time listening, yeah.
Yeah, also the podcast with Brad and Joe Cook of Inside Texas.
I know. Well, sorry. I hadn't gotten around to it.
Did you hear that honesty, Kevin?
Sam, is the mic on? Sam, turn the mic off.
It was good. All right, it was good.
He's going to binge listen to all of them. He wants a recap of the first 6 weeks of the season.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. And I'm going to listen to BK and Joe Cook, and I love both of those guys.
And make sure we get it out, the 1-0 podcast is Brad and Joe.
Listen, so everybody's got a podcast now. It's hard to keep up with everybody's
podcast. I don't
even
listen to my own, let alone anybody else's. So
that's right. Yeah, I have a 13-year-old. She told me she's had one for 10 years. I had no idea. I had no idea that was true. It was absolutely crazy. All right, so check out hornfm.com, all the podcasted stuff that you may have missed. And thanks to our man Sean, who's doing an incredible job on the website.
Yes.
Getting all the stuff up for you, whether it is the Tom Herman press conferences or Craig Way interviewing coordinators or the show hours interviews. There's all kinds of great stuff there. Twin Peaks in Addison, we are in the cigar room in the front here on Beltline Road, 5260 Beltline Road.
Cigars.
And as Aaron mentioned earlier, man, what a beautiful day it's turned into.
It's gorgeous.
It's sunny, probably in the 50s out there. A little breeze blowing.
Perfect football weather. This is football weather. This is it.
You need a layer.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to need a layer. Mm-hmm. Definitely layer up a little bit coming to
but
the
you don't need,
game tomorrow.
You don't have to have one. You can go out there without a layer and be
not,
fine.
If you're in the sun, you could be good. Tomorrow should be perfect football weather. Rod, for you as a player, was this about what you'd look for? If I give you sunny – 50s and maybe not a lot of wind. I think
I played in conditions probably a little warmer than this, except for the 1 year in 2000. Oklahoma blows us out the year they won the national title, and it was rainy
and cold, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like it was this morning. It was like, picture this morning.
Yeah.
That's what kind of weather we played in 2000, and we were not ready. And the weather, actually, that just didn't help, but we weren't ready to play anyway.
Do you subscribe to the idea that real football players don't wear the sleeves and real football players don't, you know, don't get by the warmers and all that stuff?
I played in Detroit. I played for the Bears. I played in that division, so I had to play in Lambeau. And I remember going to Lambeau, and it was like 17 degrees. And there were guys out there with no sleeves on, trying to psych themselves. Corey Redding, great story about Corey Redding. He came out there initially with no sleeves on after warm-ups, and then once he came out for the kickoff, he had sleeves on. He tried it. He was like, oh, hell no.
Three layers of sleeves.
Yeah, so I think it's all about your psyche, but man, to me, cold is cold, brother. It affected me. It affected my play.
Tomorrow should be perfect, Brad. This should be just wonderful football weather. Fans should enjoy it. And then, you know, there shouldn't be many weather excuses for either team tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about my football playing days, because in my 1 year playing sixth grade football at the Spring Valley Athletic Association, not very far here, by the way, this was the type of weather that I really looked forward to playing in. So, and my team never lost a game in this type of weather. So, that's cool.
Undefeated in this kind of weather is what you're saying.
I never lost a football game playing in my entire life.
What position were you
playing? It was a special year. I was a white kid on the bench is what I was
what position did you play?
I was
a cornerback, which is very, very important in sixth grade when teams throw the ball twice a season. But I did not allow a completion all year, which was very impressive.
We call that a shutdown corner, bro.
And, I was wide receiver / tight end in a – offense that threw the ball, I think, two times all year, and I had zero catches. So it was a quality season. But you're right. No, it's going to be awesome. I mean, I can't remember. I've probably gone to 7, 8, 9 Texas OU games, somewhere in that ballpark, and I don't remember ever needing sleeves or ever even talking about having to wear layers to one of these games. So it's going to be very cool, calm, and comfortable in the stands, that's for sure, at least when it comes to the weather. So that's pretty exciting to me, for sure.
Did y'all call that BK Island? Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Out there on the edge?
Absolutely.
I apologize for not doing that research. That's on me.
It's all right. It's out there. I got my own football reference page.
I looked into Rod's football career, but not yours. I am so sorry.
It's all right.
And Aaron may have a football career I don't even know
about
either.
Update your Wikipedia, dog. What are you doing?
I gotta create. Is it bad to create your own Wikipedia? I feel like that's the opposite of humility.
I'll create one for you. I can do this.
Thank you very much. Don't mention any of the broadcasting career. Just mention my playing days. That's all I want on there.
We got a 4 o'clock hours coming up. Rod Babers, Brad Kellner, Aaron Hogan all have been hanging out here at Twin Peaks in Addison. We're getting ready for Texas and Oklahoma, of course. Kevin's back in the studio holding it down there. Remember, Pluckers, the link location tomorrow morning for the watch party if you want to check out Texas OU and you're not headed up here to Dallas. If you are, come see us at the Texas X's tent tomorrow at 7 a.m. That's when we'll crank up Longhorn Game Day, brought to you by Coors Light. We're getting a little closer to Texas and Oklahoma. This is the Horn.